For over 3 weeks now, protesters have been taking to the streets each night in Portland and across the country, calling for transformative change in the way policing is carried out in our society. Young Black activists have led the movement in Portland and across the country, beginning with a May 29th rally in Peninsula Park. That rally was followed by nightly rallies at Revolution Hall, downtown Portland, across the city. Here are some of the voices of protesters speaking at Jefferson High School and in downtown Portland at Terry Shrunk Plaza at the Black Futures event this past Friday.
This is the work that we have to put in to live in a better America. Some things that saddened me when protesting was the lack of bodies that are at the protest. Portland is big, and there's barely anyone at the protest. Seeing that, it makes me feel like my life does not matter. So I need everyone to get your friends. You can be out swimming, they should be out protesting with us. There's no excuse. I'm 16 years old and I'm out here fighting for the basic right to live. I've been fighting my whole life, and frankly, I'm tired. I'm tired of having to change myself to make white people feel comfortable. Black people have been uncomfortable for way too long, and I'm standing up here saying that I'm done. I'm done participating in this nonsense. I'm saying I'm done making myself feel uncomfortable to make white people feel comfortable. It's time for change, and change starts now. Thank you.
Hi, you're here now. Do you understand why you're here? Do you really understand why you're here?
Yes.
Because I understand. I've been very active in the protests. I've spoken at Pioneer. I've spoken in many different places, and it's been a blessing. But with that, I've understood more deeply why I wanted to be here. I'm putting my life on the line to speak out and to speak about all of this injustice that's going on. Proud Boys want me dead. White boys want me dead. Racist ass people want me dead. Understand that. I think eight black people have been lynched over the past 2 weeks. For what? For what? They were innocent. One, a young teenager was hung at a high school, I think 2 days ago, and they ruled it a suicide. That's not a suicide. That's not a suicide. It's murder, and they're letting murderers get away with it time and time again. Police are not your protectors. I'm sorry, but I do not trust police. I never will. If I'm getting kidnapped, if I'm getting assaulted, I will not call the police. Why is that so hard to understand? Why is it so hard to grasp the concept that I deserve the same rights and the same advantages that you do as a white person? They don't care if I'm smart. They don't care if I'm talented. They don't care if I'm pretty or if I have a nice voice. Being in a black body is a threat. I am a threat to a 35-year-old man who, in Oregon, only needs 100 hours of gun training, has a lower GPA than me. It takes longer to become a cosmetologist in the state of Oregon than it does to be a police officer. That wasn't even my speech. Here's my speech. When you see me, recognize me. Recognize my face. For all you know, that could be the last time. Or maybe the next time you see my face, I might be the next face on the news. I might be the next name on the list. Any black person here could be the next name on the list. My name could be the name you're chanting in these streets. That's a fear I have every single day of my life. Do you? Have you ever thought about, oh, maybe I shouldn't go because I don't want to get killed? White people, have you ever thought about that, going to a Black Lives Matter protest? Have you ever thought about that this might be the last time you walk before you're kidnapped before you're kidnapped for simply being black. You don't face that fear. You don't face the microaggressions. And as a girl, being a woman is already exhausting enough. And add being black to that, I've been fighting this fight every single day of my life. And white people, you get to pick and choose when you want to fight. That is the difference. I don't get to pick and choose. I have to fight or I die. This is literally life and death for me. You have the possibility to walk out your house and be guaranteed you will come home. Maybe not 100%, but for me, that's about a 50% chance. You probably have about a 95% chance of coming home. I don't, because I don't know who I'm gonna run into. I don't know if I'm gonna run into police. Police see me, I'm a threat. My skin is a threat. My voice is a threat. My mind is a threat. My body is a threat. I can run into Proud Boys. I'm gone. You will never see me again. So any of these faces, any of these young black youth leaders, they could be the next name you're chanting. They could be the next face. The reason I put so much emphasis on that is because it's so true. And people are not realizing how true. How true is the fact that I'm gonna die. Everyone dies at some point. But I'm more likely to die than graduate high school. I'm scared my dad will not come home. I'm raised by a single black dad. My mom passed away when I was in fifth grade, and my dad took on the responsibility of both parents. My dad is my hero, but I'm scared that a police officer is going to shoot my dad in the head, in the body, shoot him and kill him. Or maybe he might put his knee on his neck. Or maybe he kills him and then edits the mugshot photo to make him look like he's alive. These police officers are sick. And if you can't see how f***ed up the justice system, we are just touching surface level. We have not even touched housing, education, healthcare, just the police. They shot Breonna Taylor 8 times. 8 times. A bullet ripped through her body. It only takes one bullet to kill a person. So please, tell me why you need 8. And in those 8 shots fired, did you ever realize that this was not the right house? This was not the right person. And then you arrest the boyfriend. I'm sorry. I thought America had the right to carry arms. Or is that just for white people? It seems like that's just for white people. It seems like it. But school shooters, they shoot up an entire school, kill 17 kids, but they get to walk out in handcuffs and they get to plead insanity. But I get pulled over for a DUI, I'm dead. I get pulled over from failing to turn on my lights, or I have an expired tag. I can go to jail for the rest of my life. Our systems need to change, and you need to help us change them. Because white people, you will have a power I do not have. You can help me more than I can help myself. So I need you to educate your racist grandmas, your racist uncles, your racist friends. If your friends are being racist and they think posting a black square is enough, that a hashtag chain of Black Lives Matter is gonna save my life, educate them and please tell them to try again, because that will not save my life. Holding a poster will not save my life, but I am speaking out, and that is what is going to cause change. Because I'm making my voice heard. I didn't even read my speech, I'm just going off. Converse, talk to each other, learn, look around you. People are here, these people believe in your cause. And there are more people that believe in it, but they need to get down here. They need to support. You cannot be comfortable during this movement. You do not get to be comfortable. You do not get to be tired. You do not get to schedule things around this. You show up to this and you follow through all the way. Because I don't get to have a break. I don't get to pick and choose when I want to come to these protests. Because if I do, what does that say about me? That says I think I'm better than black people. And I have privilege because I'm light-skinned, but I'm not white-passing. If you are black and white-passing, use that privilege. Or if you are white in general, learn how to use your privilege, please, in the right way. Stop making us educate you. We are trying. We are trying to mind our own business. But then you come up and touch my hair and says, wow, you're so exotic. You come up to me and say, wow, you got really dark. You come up to me and say, oh, do you play basketball? Do you run track? No, I don't actually. I play lacrosse. So.
Like many Palestinians, I was born in the U.S. and my family was exiled in 1948. I have never been there, and my father hasn't either. I am a Palestinian American, and this is my home now. When Palestine is freed, this will still be my home. But this is black and indigenous land. It is black and indigenous home, and I want to do everything that I can to make it more than just safe. These aren't the Americas that was a colonizer's name, and that guy, and any colonizer. This is our land. This is black and indigenous land. I am a public health student at PSU, and I just want to say that racism is public health. Let me say it again, because racism is public health, and everybody needs to be concerned. My sign that I have today says that racism is epidemic, systemic, and unforgivable, and we must educate ourselves on all forms of racism: medical, environmental, carceral, economic, institutional, colorblind racism. Learn these types and learn more. Seriously, I just Googled it. Just Google it. And then read the wiki page, like read about it. And every other form of racism has to be addressed too. And if you don't think it affects you because you're not black or a person of color, it does, because it affects you in whatever you do, in your field, as you walk down the street, whatever you do. Figure out what it is and then fix it. And we have to listen to black people about how we can do this. And we have to listen to black and indigenous people about how we can give the land back. And in even more ways than this, and I am here to say that I am listening and I am working really, really hard. I am reading and I am talking to all my friends and my family, and I am yelling at teachers, bosses, officers, random people who piss me off on the internet. It doesn't matter. We're yelling at them, and that's what we have to do. And it's not just about yelling, it's about educating. Don't get me wrong, it's just really hard to stay calm sometimes, and that's okay. And accept our anger for what it is every single time. And I'm standing next to black people when they need me, and I'm reaching out to my friends, and I'm shielding them too, and I'm doing whatever they need because I'm their friend, and that's what you do for your friends. And you have to be there in more ways than just a march or a protest or a retweet. Support black business owners, black artists, and black doctors, black teachers. Support black people as much as you support black lives. I'm supporting black business and black music and black people in the arts. And can I just say that you all are doing so amazing and I love you. Okay, support black people in general, like outside of just coming out, because there's just more than this. Black lives matter and we must support them wholeheartedly. And I stand here because I want all the black people in my life and my black friends to know that I feel that they are like family to me. And they're also allies and accomplices, and all black people, whether we know each other or not, I feel this way. And I just want to say, like, I read a lot of Angela Davis, and you should too, and other people. And she said a lot of things that I love, but I'll end with two quotes. One is that freedom is a constant struggle. If you're white or your parents are, and maybe that's hard for them to understand, or maybe it's hard for them to understand what it means that freedom is a constant struggle. By POC are fighting for our freedom, and we will be fighting that well past what you think that our freedom is. And when we get more freedoms, you may think, isn't this enough? Aren't you free enough? Because that's what you always tend to do? And the answer is no, it's not, and it will never be enough, and we're just going to keep on going and going and going because freedom is a constant struggle. And the next is from, again, Miss Angela Davis, Professor Angela Davis, and that is that it is not enough to be non-racist, we must be anti-racist. And this is from me, just me personally, we must also be pro-black and pro-indigenous and pro-Palestinian. And we have to listen to black voices and to non-black POC, this is to you, and to indigenous people as well. You are not exempt from the reading. You have to do it as well. We all do. And you're not exempt from racism either. It is in our communities, okay? And I know that as an Arab person and as a Latinx person, so you need to be calling that out and reading about what you have to be calling out, and you need to be doing the work too, like, you know, people have been saying. And I'm not gonna lay it out for you. You gotta use Google, take a class, follow black people, black scholars, listen to them, don't follow people, I mean follow on Twitter or like, you know what I mean? Yeah, listen to them, pay them, buy from black people, support black lives, and read from black scholars like Angela Davis, Ava DuVernay, Michelle Alexander, W.E.B. Du Bois, there's so many, just look it up. And, you know, listen to black women and black trans women, and that's the final thing that I say. And I just wanted to say that for Ola Wayton Salau, I'm sorry if I butchered that. May God rest her soul and peace and blessings be upon her. Black lives matter. Thank you.
Those were the voices of protesters speaking in downtown Portland and at Jefferson High School. The protests are continuing every day in every part of the city of Portland and surrounding areas. There's an online calendar where you can find out about all the various marches and gatherings that are taking place on a daily basis. That website is pdx-blm-events.org. That website again is pdx-blm-events.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Jenka Soderberg.